An alabaster disc found at Ur and now in the University of Pennsylvania Museum shows Inheduanna making a sacrifice to Inanna. An inscription on the reverse identifies the priestess, so we're sure that this is Sargon's daughter. She stands in a row with a nude male priest and two other women. Inheduanna is distinct from these other figures by her larger size. Her head reaches the top of the register, the carved part of the disc, and her much more elaborate costume. All of the figures stand before an altar and a stepped structure that looks very much like a ziggurat. After Sargon, it became traditional that a ruler who claimed the allegiance of more than one city would also place his daughter in the cultic position. And this gives the ruler an important religious justification for his claims to control southern Mesopotamia, as well as controlling the lucrative temple estates at Ur. Previous priestesses would not be expelled or removed when a new ruler came to power, but when they died, the ruler who was in charge would put his daughter in this position. So it shows that the religious function was important, and even though we can see that it would be used for political purposes, it was not something that the ruler could do without a vacancy in the power of the priestess. Sargon ruled for 55 years, and the length of his reign undoubtedly contributed to its success because it helps allow him to ensure succession after establishing his control. It also allows him to establish a personality and this fear that he supposedly inspired in his enemies, especially if he was the leader of the first standing army and one that was definitely very successful, would also solidify his position and make him seem important and someone who was going to be in place for a long time. Despite Sargon's success militarily, a later source describes that all of the lands revolted against him late in life. And so they besieged him in Akkad. So not only did they try to overthrow his rule, presumably by overthrowing the governors he had sent to rule over the cities, but they moved against him. Sargon defeated this this rebellion and also traveled on campaigns to make sure that other rebellions were put down. Immediately after Sargon's death, there will be another series of revolts. And this is the first time where we have evidence for the period of succession of a ruler, as he's trying to establish a dynasty, was often very difficult and would inspire regions or cities or other rulers to try and take back their own power. This will be especially true in the first millennium. Rimush, Sargon's son and successor, ruled for only 9 years before he was assassinated. He ruled from 2278 to 2270 BC. The sources claim that his servants killed him with their tablets, which is a very mysterious way of assassinating a king. No one else died in this particular manner, and it's a little hard to imagine these cuneiform tablets being wielded as weapons. So you'll have to think about that and how a palace revolt would actually work. His brother Manishtusu, who ruled from 2269 to 2255 BC, took the throne and ruled for another 14 years. He seems to have been a very active campaigner, crossing the Persian Gulf in order to gain control of silver mines. But while he was away, Akkadian control of northern Mesopotamia, the cities of Ebla and Mari, weakened, and this cut off Akkadian access to the metal trading routes that were so important.